Welcome to East Meets West number 22. And if you think it sounds a lot better, that's because we're stealing a studio.
Shh. We're not stealing. We're basically making use of downtime.
Yes, exactly. We're maximizing efficiencies.
Yes. Not necessarily for the company who actually owns this place.
We're not going to say what company it is.
No.
It could be the one Roger works for. Could be the one I work for. Could be a totally different one.
If it's an NBC affiliate, I'm not going to say.
Yeah. We just won't say any more than that. Roger, great. I didn't give it away. So we missed it yesterday.
Yes.
Because Roger was coming back from visiting his mother. The right thing to do. It was Mother's Day here in the U.S.
Yes. It's.
How is your mother?
All right. I actually just handed her a bunch of forks. They're open.
A bunch of forks?
Yes. My parents run a restaurant, and one of their busiest days is
Mother's
Day. Oh, I
thought you like specially picked forks, a bouquet of forks, and that was your present.
Yes, it was a bouquet of 36 exactly alike.
You didn't bring her flowers or anything?
I brought her dim sum.
No, okay.
$100 plus worth of dim sum.
Really? $100 worth of dim sum?
Well, my mother stocks it away.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So you know, because you know, you can't eat it all at once, and yeah, I don't show up as often as some people.
Where did you get the dim sum?
San Francisco.
Local store? Or?
Yes, there is a couple of great stores on the Clement, which is part of the Richmond neighborhood in San Francisco.
Right. We had a guy on the Buzz Out Loud forums. Asking for things to do in San Francisco. So
eat. I would suggest eat, and I don't mean eat at a McDonald's or a or a Wendy's.
Hooters.
You know what I'm saying?
There's a nice Fridays down by the wharf.
Yeah, don't eat TGIF, don't eat there. Don't Gordon Beer, I would probably go more for the beer than I would for the food. Although the beer battered deep fried stuff's not too bad.
They have the garlic fries.
Actually, if he is in San Francisco, you should go to the Delancey Street restaurant over there on Embarcadero.
Oh, yeah?
It's, for those who not know, Delancey Street is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping not just indigent or formerly incarcerated persons. Essentially, what
it's
they
a rehabilitation
do,
program.
It is, and it's actually pretty successful. And one reason why is they do what some would consider quote-unquote tough love. They have strict rules that they set out, like, when you're there, you have to follow a certain hygiene. You can't break your parole if you are on parole. So you have to follow a lot of guidelines. And, what they do is they weed out the people who really desire a change versus the people just trying to go through the motions.
And they have a moving service, which is highly recommended.
Yes.
I haven't used it because a couple of friends of mine said they had things broken. They said they were happy with the professionalism of the service.
All moving companies I've ever met always break stuff.
I got nothing broken on my last move.
Do you have any vases, vases?
I had some vases, yeah.
But you know took what I think? Those in your car, didn't
well,
you?
Well, no. These were packed by the moving company, and I think that's the difference. I think a lot of times when stuff breaks, when you have people move for you, is when you self-pack, and you probably have partially yourself to blame. Not always, but partially.
I've actually never my parents only used one moving company, and the rest of the time it was either people that my dad found, namely, the dishwashers at the restaurant who needed, a couple of bucks over the weekend.
I've only paid for a move twice. Once I packed myself, and I didn't have anything broken that time either. And the other time was this time when I paid them to pack and a move.
Yeah, I'm probably getting toward the age where I have too much stuff to move by myself. But ideally, I would like to be able to move my own stuff.
You've helped me move once.
Yes.
Actually, you showed up. As I recall, after all the moving was done, and
I
then
showed
drank
up
my,
after all the heavy moving was done.
I think you moved a bag of towels or something.
Yeah, whatever, dude. Hey, that towel
help is help.
This, that
help
towel
is help.
Yeah.
I can't be picky. All right, so eat. It seems to be the conventional wisdom if you're visiting San Francisco.
Yeah, and there's a variety. If you want to go out into the Mission or Valencia, there's some great eateries. North Beach, of course, is always
everybody was given the classic, there's stuff, great restaurants downtown. There's great restaurants North Beach. Fisherman's Wharf even has a few places.
Yeah, they have a few, but you got to be careful. Mm-hmm. Like Eliotto's, certain dishes are good. Mm-hmm. Other ones are kind of run.
Eliotto's is a classic fish restaurant right on the wharf. But yes, Don't order just anything.
Yeah.
Just, actually, as I have found, stick with the specials.
Yeah.
And you tend to do well.
Especially the ones that they kind of, you know, they put up either in the front, you know, mm-hmm. like when you walk in on the little poster.
Yes, thing. Yes. The things right in your mind. Because you know what? They cater to tourists. And so they put a lot of things on the menu because they have such a wide variety of people, but they're not good at all of them.
Exactly.
But they are good at some of them.
Yes. Don't go to Bubba Gump's.
No, well, that's a chain also.
Yeah, basically my point. Don't go to chains.
Go to the local stuff. Yeah. And then, you know what? Venture out if you can. I mean, I know it's difficult when you're in a new city, especially if you don't have a car. But
actually, San Francisco is one of those few places that you can get around pretty well without...
It's still difficult, though, to try to figure out the public transit system.
It is, but once you take a cab to where you want to go, and one of the best things you can do is actually walk through San Francisco, especially like... to the Castro or out by Lombard Street mm-hmm. or what's the one with the big tower on it?
Coat Tower. Russian Hill. The other thing I would say is don't avoid the Richmond and the Sunset, especially in the Richmond. There's some fantastic restaurants out on Geary Street headed towards the beach. There's also some really good restaurants on Terraval out in the Sunset.
Yeah.
And also and other ones
although,
dotted
oh, yeah,
here and
although
there.
Although the Terraval would probably be kind of a reach because there's nothing else out there. You can take the
L Terraval line from downtown and stop along the way. There's cool little shops and there's some great Italian restaurants along that Terraval strip actually. So
38. Take the 38. You'll go out into Geary.
38 takes you to Geary. Yeah.
And you can hit Clement Street is parallel to Geary and it's a block away and that has a lot of the Chinese as well as Thai, Burmese, and a couple of Southeast Asian.
And
places.
I highly recommend getting out to the ocean instead of just taking in the bay views. Bay views are beautiful. Not denying that, but you'll see some things out on the ocean side that not a lot of people get to see.
And Presidio, definitely the Presidio.
Oh,
if you're really interested,
look for Star Trek headquarters.
Yes, no, Star Wars.
Star Trek in the Presidio. That's Starfleet headquarters.
Was it
in the Presidio? Yeah, because I always had the Golden Gate Bridge out the window.
Yeah, whatever.
In Deep Space Nine, Lucas. The invaders came and blew up the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
When they had the big war.
That series would have been so much better if their writing was a little better.
There were some good episodes, though.
Yeah, unfortunately, they counted for the minority.
All right, let's reach back into the posting bag on East Meets West 21. And first one from Timothy. He seems to be a frequent poster.
Yes.
Distinction of first comment. He did get first comment on the new blog at subbrilliant.com/EMW. I came across earlier this week and fitting in what you guys mentioned, if we were to wake up some morning and find that everyone was the same race, creed, and color, we would find some other cause for prejudice by noon. George Aiken, former Vermont senator.
It's true. I mean, it's natural, like we talked about. It's very tribal. It's how you, and in, you know, many ways, it's not because you don't like someone, it's that you want to set yourself apart. Oftentimes, people say, I don't want to do something mainstream. I want to be my own person. And oftentimes, that's how things manifest itself. Unfortunately, you also have the ugly side of that where, you know, people try to be cool. It's like, well, I don't listen to that music because it's, you know, I want to be my own person. But then you get to the point where sometimes people will say, well, because you don't listen to my music, you're not cool.
On the one hand, people want to be unique. On the other hand, they want to be part of something.
Exactly.
And that doesn't necessarily mean they have to be a joiner, but they want everybody. I don't care how big of a loner you are. You want to be a part of something.
I mean, humans are social creatures, and it's only natural unless you're...
Well, you want to feel like you're a part, even if it's a part of changing the world or blazing a new trail, people want to feel like they're part of something.
Like, especially... And I'm not to put down a lot of the... quote-unquote protests that happened in the run-up to the Iraq War, but I had a feeling there was a significant portion of those people that were protesting because it was a big event.
Yes.
And not
necessarily... That's always true of protests, any kind of protest, and anti-war or not.
Exactly, and for many people, like even when it was the last Star Wars, Revenge of the Sith, you still had people standing in line, you know, a month before because they were that part of that, you know, thing.
Absolutely. Andy Melton writes, hey guys, good episode. In the words of James T. Kirk, we're all human, Spock. Well, human, Spock. Or something
except
like
for
that.
Spock, who's only half human.
And lastly, nachos sound good, but I don't think I'd pay $6 for them. P.S. I like the logo and the album art. I don't think I saw that before. That's actually created by a listener.
Yes.
So
I don't remember that listener's name, unfortunately.
We mentioned it on the other podcast, though. Hey, Tom, I had a U.S. map puzzle when I was a kid, too. I showed it to my son, and he loved it and learned his states from it. Now he's moved on to this incredible geography teaching website at shepherdsoftware.com. It's an excellent resource, so much so that now he knows his state capitals, Canadian provinces, and Central and South America. He's working on the rest of the world. Did I mention he's 4? Oh, and we have video of him putting together that U.S. map puzzle, one piece for each state at 27 months. Surely this nation's high school students can do that too, Remy. Well,
yeah,
surely they could if they were taught.
But they don't teach it anymore. It's actually kind of a shame because oftentimes these curriculums are subject to certain political...
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about Republican, just within the school district.
Yeah. And that kind of politics, not party politics.
Yeah, and it's just ridiculous because, you know, people will my teaching. I don't want to get into it.
Timothy, again, did a quick search on Google for East Meets West, and here are the top results. Humanitarian.org, cooking show,
ooh,
Russian Bride Agency.
Hey, I only looked at that once.
Adoption service.
That's not me.
Air gun shop, caterer, fine art. And traditional medicine.
What about a Russian bride with an airsoft gun?
And then Timothy says, and he's just trying to make me pronounce bad French. Enfin, je suis d'accord avec Remy. Shepherd Software has a great geography section I frequent to sharpen my wits. Wow, they updated the site design. It looks a whole lot better.
Cool.
Chris wrote in to point out that, I hate to break it to you, Tom, but your MP3s are still being encoded at a sample rate of 11 kilohertz. He wrote it a lot clearer than I spoke it, which makes them unplayable in Winamp. And I realized that I'd forgot to change the template to encode in 44.
What version of Winamp is he running?
An older one, but a bit.
Yeah, I run like 2.5.
11 kilohertz is just a weird. I don't know why I had it set at that.
Because
so I set the template back to 44.
It's a model of 22. It's a quarter of stereo.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't work in Winamp. So I changed it to 44, and it seems to work fine. For everyone. I changed it 1 week, and then I forgot to change it in the template. Anyway, Timothy had two quick questions. One was that there was a page redirect on CNET that wasn't working properly, and I think that's been addressed. But the second is on WordPress, posting about comment fields. Is the website asking for your own website or regarding the website related to posted info? Thanks. I hate feeling like an idiot for asking such a question. Not an idiotic question at all. It is a little bit unclear. In fact, it is asking for your website on the WordPress blog. Something that will show up below your names. Timothy at blahdy-blahdy-blahdy-blah.com.
Awesome.
There's some Google Trends, East Meets West, Roger Chang, ramen noodles. Tom Merritt doesn't show up in Google Trends, but have you played with the Google Trends thing?
Yeah, but I haven't put, I put my name in, and there was just kind of a short spike of this year. whole name, anyway.
It is sort of monolithic. Well, it's turning into a hockey stick now, though.
It's an L, a reverse L.
Yeah, well, it's a reverse L. Exactly. United States and Canada, though. Mostly United and all English.
Yeah.
No city data available for you.
Unfortunately.
All right, then we have a couple of comments off of the delay. Well, first of all, my blog was down Sunday because the database crashed on my web host, so I couldn't post and say that we were delayed yesterday. I had posted it today, and then Andy said, look forward to hearing from you guys this week. I came here last night, saw the site was down, was going to email you, but I figured you already knew or would know, and yes, I did. But you can always email me. I don't mind hearing about it. And then Timothy said...
Broken, Tom. Don't worry, I'll call you. Hey, Tom, it's broken.
Thanks.
Roger, I'm eating dinner. It's broken, Tom. I thought you should know.
Timothy put, thought the feds finally came for you guys. Either that or got beamed up. Did get beamed up, and you are doppelgangers.
Although, technically, if you think about the whole process of beaming, from a philosophical standpoint, you really are being recreated. Because, you know what I mean?
Now... That depends, right? That's the way we know how to beam so far, which is to break up...
The way it's explained in the Star Trek hand source guidebook thing.
Yeah, but there could be a different way of beaming people that actually sends the actual electrons. But then, you know what? If you break someone apart and put them back together, even if it's all the same material, generally speaking, without getting into quantum dynamics, is it the same person when you put them all back together? Because they've been totally obliterated.
Well, technically, you're dead.
Yeah.
And then you're reconscious, so you're either a facsimile or perhaps you're reincarnation.
Something they didn't really, I mean, other than transporter psychosis.
Yeah, that
never
was a
really,
pretty lame episode.
They never really dealt with the idea of, like, if you just rip someone physically apart and put them back together, would they really have their memories and everything?
Well, see, that's the thing, is would it be that person? I mean, that's one of the great philosophical debates about artificial intelligence. If you invest all this intelligence, say you copied a person's memory, his mind, completely, exactly into a machine, the machine believes that he's that person, does that make it so, or is it a completely unique, you know, even though it has the exact same, basically the question was, how do you define, you know, yourself? Do you define it by the memories, your experiences? Star Trek touched on that when they had that one episode where they had two Rikers.
Oh, right.
Remember
that
one?
Yeah.
And then we had to listen to both of them, like, play bad jazz.
I'm not even getting, I mean, there's the philosophical section of it, but I'm not even getting that far. I mean, there's the idea that memories and thought and consciousness could exist in an electrical state within your brain. And if you destroy the structure of the brain, you wouldn't necessarily be recreating that state again,
even if it's physically identical. If it's all are you talking about memories? Because it depends on whether or not they finally decide on what, you know.
I'm talking about positive and negative ions, and I mean that.
Well, what if you could go from particle to particle, from subatomic particle to particle, and map it exactly? You know, I know it's a huge stretch.
I just don't know if that would. I mean, isn't there some things
we'll
that
find
are
out
in balance?
1,500 years from now,
exactly.
We'll use a rat.
You want to set a little wager on that?
Yeah, you know what? I think I'll
what's
bet
the over-under?
5?
5 years? Or 5,000 years?
Well, you can't, because I said millennia in 500 years. That's only 1,500 years.
Yeah. Well, if the over-under was 5,000, then that's not much of a bet.
Yeah. All right, who's the next?
That's it. That's all we got for this episode.
No.
Yeah.
I feel let down. Oh. Wasn't there someone in the message boards that says she just found this?
That was I skipped over that one, but yes, there is a message that says that just found the podcast and want to know how to find the previous ones, and I just went ahead and posted in the forums and said, you can find the previous ones here at this link. But that was Daisy. Daisy posted in the board.
Awesome. Thank you, Daisy.
do you think it's Hal?
Who's Hal?
From 2001, A Space Odyssey.
I don't know. Did IBM ever get around to building that machine?
We should say that Jason, listener number one, has actually been out and about covering rugby and has appeared on the American Rugby News podcast.
Ooh.
So he's actually getting into podcasting. So
that's
congratulations
cool.
to Jason.
That's awesome.
He does have a question. I almost forgot. He has an emailed question. As for East Meets West, what are your feelings on public financing of sports facilities? I know that AT&T Park was privately financed, but how was the area around the ballpark before it opened? It seems nice now with housing and restaurants. I know San Jose would like to get the Athletics, but they are thinking about Fremont. Here in Salt Lake, the MLS team is trying to get public financing of a stadium, but facing a tough road due to most teams still losing money. Of course, most teams do not play in their own stadium, and that makes revenue streams limited.
I believe it could be either or. I mean, I believe it's more of a municipal government than a federal or state level.
Definitely.
Because, you know, that's going to impact greatly. You know, if there's a private investor who wants to put that money in, that's cool too. I mean, around here, before they built what's the name of it? It's not Pac Bell anymore.
Well, it was Pac Bell Park at the beginning, and then it's gone through three phone companies now. It's now AT&T.
AT&T Park.
I just call it Pac Bell
Park.
That
whole area, that used to be essentially warehouse and industrial, you know, related to the pier. At a time when San Francisco actually still did, not offshore, but container work, which all moved to the East Bay.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of that was to revitalize, not to mention during the dot-com boom, everyone figured, hey, well, since property prices are valued, you better start developing all this quote-unquote unused land.
And it has turned into a very nice, almost ritzy neighborhood.
UCSF is building, or not UCSF, UCSF, not USF, is
building a campus there.
Yeah, building a campus
The China Basin
there.
Campus.
they're taking away that golf course, the driving range that we used to
have.
Oh,
really? They're plowing that over?
Yeah, UCSF owns
gentrification.
Land.
I hate it.
Yeah, it's bad.
But well, anyway, you know what? I think if a ball team of any kind, even a puck team, can finance its own arena, it's probably the best. And there are models to do that with private development. What the A's are trying to do, he mentions the Oakland Athletics, they can't go to San Jose because that is the San Francisco Giants' territory, according to Major League Baseball. So the reason they're going to Fremont, Fremont would get them as close to San Jose as possible. And the way things are in the Bay Area, San Jose and the North Bay, South Bay, North Bay, is kind of the dividing line. San Jose is in the south, and San Francisco and Oakland are in the north. And the territory is divided along a north-south line between San Francisco and Oakland. And the economy has grown so much down in San Jose that it really shouldn't be divided that way. It should be divided in an east-west line between San Francisco, Oakland, and San Jose. So if they move down to Fremont, that gets them very close to San Jose without intruding on the San Francisco.
I mean, come on. Where's and not to put down Fremont, but really, where's the... The kind of,
they basically put them on the border of San Jose, and they become the Oakland A's at Fremont.
It's like Anaheim.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm from Anaheim. Uh-huh. It's like, you know, whatever.
But you know what? A lot of times teams can't afford to put the whole thing out together themselves. There can be partnerships with real estate developers, which is what the A's are looking at. There can be some help from the city if the city can afford it. The city's going to benefit a little bit from it. But I think the cities in the past have gone way too far.
Yeah.
And so that's why there's a little bit of a backlash against
it. There was a time when there was a huge expansion. There, Phoenix had one, Seattle.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of cities look at those examples are kind of wary because they invested a lot of money in it. And
for not as much return.
For the return. It's actually a very poor investment as things go.
The argument was always that it's a psychological and intangible benefit to have a pro sports team.
The way you're growing the economy is you're feeding off the same people who would be spending money anyway. They're just spending it somewhere else.
So I think it's worthwhile for the city to help. What the A's are trying to do seems to be a pretty good compromise model, which is they were looking for municipal help in finding a site, and then they're going to fund the development of the park through real estate development. So they're not asking the city for money directly. They're asking for city help in finding an area that they can develop. So that might mean easements. It might mean it might be incentives to help get property owners to sell, those sorts of things. Could mean eminent domain, although I don't think they really want to go that route.
Dirty.
Yeah, but anyway, they're trying to get city help without getting city money per se. That's an interesting way to go about it. We'll see if it works.
Cool.
All right. Well, that's it. A little bit of a shortened version because of the evening recording, but hopefully next week we
can
get
to schedule
full on. Thanks, Roger.
Sure.
See y'all.